So turn now to Psalm 73. We read the entirety of the psalm this morning. Just going to read the first three verses and then the last seven or eight. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph, the holy word of God. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Remember, we made mention of a transition that takes place at verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Go to verse 23. The confession of Asaph, and our focus celebrating God's grace this morning. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. This is our text for this afternoon, this verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we saw already this morning that Asaph the psalmist began very well when he set out with this psalm saying, truly God is good to Israel, because he is. Truly God is good. We could celebrate the goodness, the grace of God together this morning, and we continue to do so this afternoon in worship, giving God the glory. We do so as we acknowledge that he comes to us with his word and lavishes his goodness and grace upon us through his word in the grace that he shows us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look forward further to tasting and seeing this goodness of the Lord our God as he confirms us in these things, reminds and assures us of these blessings at the table of the Lord. We thank the Lord, for he is good. Now, I alluded already this morning that by the time we got to the end of the psalm, Asaph is in a better place. And that's where I want to focus together this afternoon. It is good for me to draw near to God. That's his confession. He understands now that it's good to draw near to God. He had humbly and honestly laid out his struggle. He had spoken about his confusion. He had acknowledged his sin. He called himself a brute beast. He was foolish and insolent. His heart was grieved. His mind was vexed because he was looking in the wrong places, because he had gotten turned in on himself. But God in his grace had opened his eyes to his goodness and showed him the way of blessing again. God in his grace had enabled him to say, nevertheless, I am continually with you. And now, knowing these things, he wants with all of his heart to pursue God. I want to draw near to God. It is good for me to draw near to God. And I want us to appreciate that what the psalmist Asaph is talking about here is not only the blessing of coming to Christ. It's nothing less than that. It's all of that and more. But what I mean, it's not only the blessing of coming to Christ for the first time, our initial coming to the Savior, our initial appreciation for our deep need of this goodness of God and His grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this drawing near to God is also not merely something that we ought to be thinking about from time to time, as if it were an occasional thing. What the psalmist is speaking about is a rich blessing as a constant privilege and duty. Something that we can enjoy, something we're called to experience and to be engaged in repeatedly, continually. And here's the challenge for us as we draw near to God in worship. We recognize that there are times in our lives when we are confused, when we forget, when we don't appreciate the goodness and grace of God in the way that we should, when we are neglectful, when we don't care, when we don't even seek the grace of God. We need to be challenged. We need to be humbly encouraged in terms of what God has for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to see that what Asaph the psalmist is speaking about is not a one and done. It's not a once for all thing that we did back then somewhere. It is what we might call a description of what ought to be habitual, ongoing, characteristic of the Christian life, that we draw near to God. We will be singing a rendition of Psalm 73 again this afternoon, one probably more familiar to us, or at least as familiar, where in the last stanza of that rendition, picking up on verses 27 and 28 of Psalm 73, we say, to live apart from God is death. 'Tis good His face to seek. My refuge is the living God. His praise I long to speak. And that sums up these last two verses of Psalm 73, and that directs us in the way we want to be going in our study this afternoon. I preach the gospel to you. I preach the gospel of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, about the blessing and privilege of maintaining that sweet communion with God. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. That's our confession. And yet our acknowledgement with that confession is we need encouragement. We need reminder. We need to be bolstered. We need help to maintain that blessing. And that's what we want by the grace of God. So there are three things we're going to consider together concerning maintaining sweet communion. There is the conviction that Asaph expresses at the beginning of verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. There is the commitment, I have put my trust in the Lord God. And what's the consequence? What happens as he continues to do this, that I may declare all your works? It's a complete turnaround from where he began. He began in confusion. Well, he began well, saying what perhaps he felt he needed to say. Truly, God is good to Israel, but I was messed up. I was confused. I had almost lost my way. My foot had almost slipped. And now he ends on a note where he's eager to praise God. On the first place, then, we want to speak of his conviction. He says, it is good for me to draw near to God. Now, in light of everything he's experienced and been honest about, you understand that he is telling us and helping us, because I'm sure that we can all identify with his struggle. He's helping us to see that God is good in spite of what he had failed to see in the past along the way. So he's saying it's good for me to draw near to God. He's very personal. And that's not it's not the way you might expect someone to speak in our day and age. When they speak personally, well, that's good for you. May not be good for me, but it's good for you. That's fairly typical as a way of speaking today. That's not what he's saying. It's good for me to draw near to God. You may have your thing, I have my thing, and for me it's drawing near to God. That's not what he's saying. When he's saying it's good for me to draw near to God, he's giving expression to the fact that he knows this from experience. He's come to this conviction by the grace of God, and there is no other way. And he's laying this before us in such a way that we are called to appreciate with him, this is good for us too. Now we may think to ourselves, many people may think to themselves, there are a lot of things that are good. But that's not what Asaph is saying. We may think, you know, for our business to be doing well, that's a good thing. And there's a sense in which that's true. To be healthy and to have our children doing well, perhaps getting back to their schooling, doing well at that, that's a good thing. That's true as well. But that's not what he's saying. When he says, it's good for me, he's speaking in such a way that this is the good. This is the chief good. Effectively, this is the only good. Every other good thing must be subservient to the good of knowing God. And when he says, it's good for me, it ought to be plain to us that this must be our conviction too. And it needs to be that personal. And it can be that confident. It's good for me to draw near to God. Now, as I quoted the rendition in the hymnal, based on these words, to live apart from God is death, 'tis good his face to seek. You see, there is a very sharp contrast between verse 27 and verse 28. Those who are far from you, Lord, shall perish, but it's good for me to draw near to God. And again, I think all of us need to be able to be honest with the reality that we haven't always drawn near to God. Even in our Christian lives, we have been forgetful. Just take as a practical scenario that time when you lost your cool. Was it with your wife or with your children? And you made a fool of yourself. Would you say that when that happened, you had been drawing near to God? I think we would say no. What happens, as we learn from Asaph, when we get focused on ourselves, turned in ourselves, and overwhelmed with the green-eyed monster of envy, looking around at other people as well, but not looking to God, reflecting upon his goodness? That is not good. And when we've been forgetful of God and seeking to do it in our own strength, we found ourselves in places that we could only say about that, not good. Maybe there are some who are in a very not good place even as I speak this afternoon. That's not good. It is good to draw near to God. And maybe we do well as well to reflect on the reasons we don't. When we're not drawing near to God, why is that? Those who are far from God shall perish. We don't want to be like Peter. As Jesus is on the way to the cross, we read in Mark 14, verse 54, for instance, Peter followed him at a distance. We want to be near to God. Nearer, still nearer. But why don't we? Well, maybe it's sin in our lives. Maybe it's sin that we play with, that we indulge, that we simply say, you know, it's no big deal. But then we can't draw near to God. There's a coldness, there is a distance. That's not good. We know it. It's not good. God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. He cannot look upon sin. And we know there's something amiss. Maybe we don't draw near to God because we think we're doing quite well already by ourselves. Thank you very much. Our business seems to be going well. We're doing well in the work of our hands or when we're in our schooling or what have you. And we think we can do it in our own strength. There's a pride. There's a selfishness that might keep us from drawing near to God. And that's not good. Maybe it's confusion in our thinking. Like Asaph was honest about. We get so overwhelmed by getting turned in on ourselves that we forget to look to God. We need to be enlightened. We need to be set straight. We need to be given perspective. To be able to come to that same conviction that Asaph had, it's good for me. This is what I really need. This is the good thing. This is what it's all about, to draw near to God. Or maybe there are some who still don't draw near to God, and the Lord willing, as we think about these things, we might be a blessing to people who may be stuck in some of these exact ways, if it's not ourselves. Maybe we just have wrong thoughts about God. We fear Him in a way that has us running from Him rather than running to Him. That's not good. It's not right. Because truly God is good to Israel. That enables us to draw near. It enables us to be honest about our failings. It enables us to repent. It enables us to know that when we go to Him, He is gracious to forgive. When we draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who says, "Come to me," we find rest for our souls. So what's good about drawing near to God? We find out that we have the rest that we need and can be found in no other way. And in coming to the Father through Jesus, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." It's good. "No one who comes to me," Jesus says, "will be cast out or set aside." That's good. It's good for me to draw near to God because then I may live in the confidence that I'm not alone. I will never walk alone. He is with me, even through the valley of the shadow of death. He is with me, we're able to say, even as we take up a daunting responsibility to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. But I'm with you, Jesus says. It's good to draw near to God because as we do, we have this aching desire in the joy that we may know him as our God to be like him. To walk as Jesus walked. To be Christ-like in our thinking. That's something he blesses us with as we draw near to him. That's good. It's good to draw near to God because we know that he will indeed provide for our every need. If he did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also along with him freely give us all things? Everything we stand in need of, that's good. No good thing will he withhold from the one who walks uprightly. Psalm 84, verse 10. It's good for me to draw near to God. Asaph is finally able to say, even as he had simply laid it out there, blurted it out. At verse 14, for instance, all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. But now he has this realization that we can have too by God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, all things work together for the good of those who love him. This is not easy, we may be saying to ourselves. We may be in a circumstance right now that is not to our liking, not as we would have chosen it to be. But it's good for me to draw near to God, we can say. And even when we're struggling, even when we're facing challenges, by God's grace, we can say, but it's good. With God, it's all good. He's good to me. And I praise him for it. That's the psalmist's conviction. It's good to draw near to God. It's not good to keep your distance. It's not good to think you can do it on your own. There is a strong warning. To live apart from God is death. It's good his face to seek. That's a conviction. Asaph says, it's good for me, and it's what you and everybody needs. But I want to move in the second place to speak about his commitment. And when I do that, I want us to appreciate and be able to acknowledge together that we may have a lot of convictions that are hardly worth the name conviction. Convictions that you don't act upon are hardly convictions. And I don't know how many times it's happened in my life, and it still does, to be frank. When I'm convicted, it would be good for me to draw near to God in this way and in that way, and to resolve to do better at this or that aspect of my Christian life, and then do nothing. That would be really good if I did that. And then not do it. You know what that's like? I think we all know what that's like. And thanks be to God, it's good to draw near to God, even with that mess, the hot mess of our own failings and our own sin before God. And Asaph simply says, I have put my trust in the Lord God. That's his committed expression to get beyond mere words, mere good intentions. And he does it. He puts his trust in the Lord God. And that's a great thing. And I want us to be encouraged as we hear the word of God about his grace in the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon, and as it's confirmed for us as we think about Christ's broken body and his poured out, his shed blood. What did Jesus say on his way to the cross? In John 12, verse 32. In that connection, in the previous verses, he had his own intense struggle before the face of God. "My soul is deeply troubled," he said, "and what shall I say, Father? Father, save me from this hour? No. For this purpose I have come. Glorify your name." And then he went on to say, 12 verse 32, John's Gospel, "If I am lifted up, I will draw all peoples to myself." Now, that's not a statement about universalism. Jesus has not said that every single person in the world, head for head, is going to come to him. They won't, they don't. But Jesus had just been encouraged in the previous section of John chapter 12 that the Greeks were asking for him, the Gentiles. "Sir," or "Sirs," they were speaking to his disciples, "we would see Jesus." And Jesus is encouraging them, "I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be lifted up for all men to see." Now that cross, of course, in terms of what he's saying, also gives way to his death and his resurrection. He is exalted and glorified in his death and resurrection. And that is the means by which he draws all peoples to himself. Men and women, boys and girls from every tribe and tongue and nation. If we struggle, and if we're honest, we'd have to acknowledge we do, with the fact that it's easy to speak a good line in terms of our conviction without actually doing anything about it. We want to be encouraged again that the Lord Jesus Christ has been lifted up. And have you not seen? Have you not experienced the blessing that by this glorious work he has drawn you to himself? To be able to say, "I have put my trust in the Lord God," is putting conviction into action and doing what we say we know we should do. And by God's grace, making it a regular part of who we are. Sort of an habitual part, a description of what it is to be a Christian. We draw near to God. We can't do without God. We want to be mindful of the presence of God. We want to do our work as unto the Lord. We want to be thinking about God. We want to give glory to God. And whatever our hands find to do, we want to do it with all of our might to the glory of God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's our desire. And by God's grace, making peace with this God through the blood of the cross, we actually do draw near to God. So what is our commitment as we put our trust in him? What does drawing near to God look like? It looks like what we're doing right now. Drawing near to God in worship. Jesus had also said in John 6, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." But we have this sense, don't we? We're drawn to this God. We know we need him. And we can be glad that he calls us to come to him. And he's promised not to set us aside. It's in the blessing of worship, like Asaph experienced. When I went to the sanctuary of God, I got my head on straight. We could draw near to God. And that's what I want to do. We draw near to God as we take up his word. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. We draw near to God as we encourage one another in Christian fellowship. We draw near to God as we seek his face together in prayer, and as we do so on our own. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. So what we're seeing here, what we need to be challenged by here, is that we get beyond conviction, a statement of, yeah, I think that would be good, to actually drawing near to God. It's good for me to draw near to God. I've put my trust in the Lord God. And then the consequence we see in the third place, that I may declare all your works. There's something about drawing near to God and growing in intimacy with him, in familiarity with him, in sweet communion with him, that makes us want to tell others. That I may declare all your works. Earlier in the psalm, Asaph acknowledged at verse 15, he should just keep his mouth shut. If I had said, I will speak thus in the way that he'd been talking, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. Boys and girls, have you ever been told, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say it, or keep your mouth shut? That was a circumstance that Asaph acknowledged himself to be in. He had nothing to say that was good. He would have been untrue to the generation of his people if he kept on that way. He should just be quiet. But now he's got something to say. And so do we. So we taste and see that the Lord is good. As we worship the exalted Savior who is lifted up, that we might be drawn to him, we've got something to talk about. And maybe we should reflect upon our guilty silence, our inability to speak at times. Now, some people are more apt to speak, more adept at speaking, terms of natural ability. That's not what I'm talking about. What Asaph is talking about is the fact that he has been through all of this. He's been through the muck and mire of being turned in on himself and not seeing anything properly. But now he's able to confess, but God is gracious. And now he says, I want to declare all your works. I want to take back what I was about to say in anger and frustration about being chastened and plagued in this way and that. And I want to be able to say, but I have learned that God is so good that he's been working even this for my good. And the closer we get to God, the more capable we are of declaring all his works. We might even turn it around, the more incapable we are of keeping it to ourselves. Open our silent lips, O Lord, we say. And maybe if we struggle with our own hesitation, with our own negligence, with our own guilty silence before God, we should be asking ourselves, am I drawing near to God? Am I growing in sweet communion with Him? Am I growing in a sense of delight? And maybe we should be asking the Lord to help us in that. And let me assure you, as we draw near to Him in that way, we will declare all His works. Let me assure you that it is good to draw near to God, because truly God is good to His people. He's faithful and gracious in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this encouragement. We take it as a challenge as well, O God. We want to declare all Your works. We know it's good to draw near to You. We know it is not good to live apart from You. We pray that You would forgive us for all of the ways we have forgotten these things and gone our own way. We thank You that in Your grace You continue to teach us. And we pray that You would enable us to be able to say, but we put our trust in the Lord God, the God of grace, the God of faithfulness, the God of covenant mercy, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge and confess that it's Your gracious love and mercy to sinners like us that draws us to You. And we want to grow in fellowship with You. We want to grow in likeness to You. We want to grow in usefulness and fruitfulness for the glory of Your name. Help us and bless us. And encourage us also as we come to the table of the Lord. In Christ's name we pray, amen.